You are listening to The Recovered Therapist, brought to you by FreshOutOfPlans.com. I'm Jeannie Griffin, and I'll be your host. Instead of focusing on labels, diagnoses, and psychobabble, we keep things honest, simple, and hopeful, so that you can grow personally and spiritually. Thank you for joining me.
I want to talk about relationships within families. Now, that can also include relationships between families, but let's talk about just the family relationship itself. No aunts, uncles, grandparents, no extended family. So we started using the term dysfunctional family several years ago, and people initially were offended by it, and then it became so overused that it didn't hold its magic, or it didn't hold any kind of meaningful relationship to what we're trying to describe. So I want you to set aside everything you think you know about relationships within families, and I'm going to ask you to be very visual at this point. So let's imagine that you are in love with somebody, and you all decide to make a partnership. Now, that can be living together, it can be marriage, whatever it is that you, you know, feel like you want to do to honor this relationship or this love with another person. So let's say traditionally you get together and you decide you're going to have a marriage. And even if you know somebody for a long period of time, and when you start living with them, there are things that you didn't realize that you knew or that you didn't know about them. And you go through a period of adjustment. In some terms, you go through this period of dysfunction. You weren't functioning the way you were comfortable functioning, and yet you get together and you think, oh dear, he has to have the fan on at night, or she has to have the sound machine on, or some television on, or whatever. Or this person likes to get up at 5 a.m. and the other person likes to get up at 10. And so there is this period of adjustment. Finally, the two of you adjust, and you're rocking along, and it's kind of peaceful, not really dysfunctional. So imagine the two of you with hula hoops around each of you. And those are your personal boundaries. That's your personal individuality. And you make a choice to share each other's hula hoop. Now, if you both get into the same hula hoop, it gets a little tight in there, and you begin to feel overwhelmed by the other person. A healthy relationship, and if I could demonstrate this to you in person, you might understand it better, but imagine that each one of them is holding their hula hoop, and you make a choice to witness each other's lives. And in some things, you get into each other's hula hoop. But that can't be sustained. It gets too claustrophobic. It limits you, and the tug of war begins. So that's called an enmeshed relationship, or one that you're both in the same hula hoop. It's just like, I don't know, imagine a plate full of spaghetti that's cold. It just all gets all tangled up with one another. I was working with a client one time who said he wanted to be my metaphor coach because my examples were so bad. And so now I continue to use the cold spaghetti metaphor and can hear him laughing in the background saying, Jeannie, you got to do better than that. But it worked for me, so maybe it'll work for you. All right, so once the two of you get kind of straightened out and you come together, there are times you get in each other's hula hoop and snuggle, and other times you're in your own individual hula hoops and you get close to one another, but you can float away and you go play golf one day and you go play piano or go running with friends or whatever, and you can come back together, but you're individual. That's an interdependent relationship. That's the healthiest. We want interdependent relationships where I could live without you. I could choose to support myself, sustain myself, emotionally, financially, every way. But I choose not to. I choose to be in partnership with you. And we have this healthy coming and going. And sometimes one person pulls more weight than the other. So let's say I've decided I want to go back to school and get a higher degree. Well, then you may have to take up the slack and work a little bit harder or make the money then while I'm spending the money going to school. And then we switch off from time to time. That's what families do. That's what friends do. But that's especially what families do for one another. And when you're doing that, it's not dysfunctional. It may be in a period of time, it may be the family system gets all whacked out, but it's not going to be that way forever. So it's not a period of dysfunction that causes the problem. It's the length of that dysfunction. Okay? So let's say a parent is ill or has to have surgery and can't do the regular parenting job that they did. And some of the kids have to step up and help out with doing laundry, making dinner, picking up the house, whatever like that. And everybody has to chip in. So yes, that is a period of dysfunction, but it doesn't leave severely traumatized people because everybody knows that it's going to be short-lived. Okay. Then the two of you as a couple are rocking along, and then dun-da-da-da, one of those times that you were in the hula hoops together being enmeshed, baby number one shows up. Or maybe if you can't have children, you use a surrogate or you adopt, or somehow child number one enters this relationship that was a duo, now it's a trio. And when that baby or adopted child, you know, older, younger, that third person enters into the system, or let's say maybe it's not even a child. Let's say it's an elderly parent that has to come live with you, or a brother or a sister that has to live with you for a period of time. You will go through another period of dysfunction. And then y'all get into a rhythm and it'll be okay. And then another person comes or goes out of the family. So you get the point. If you imagine everybody with hula hoops, what I like to do in families is get everybody a hula hoop and then ask each person in the family, move the people together in and out to where it feels like what's happening in the family from your eyes. And it's amazing. So what's supposed to happen in, let's say there are three children in this family and a mother and a father. Let's just go ahead and be very stereotypical. And if I'm offending anybody because I've left you out, please forgive me. This is for illustrative purposes. So typically the three children think of mom and dad as two icons, this monolithic block of parents. And every single child in the family thinks they have the same parent. They don't. So let's say child number one enters the scene when mom and dad are, let's say, late 20s, mid 20s, somewhere along in there. And they have a set of parents who are in their 20s. Child number two comes along and they have a set of parents who are in their early 30s. And then child number three comes in and they have a set of parents in their late 30s. Now the children think they have the same parents, mom and dad. But in fact, they each have an individual relationship with those three different parents at three different times in the parents' lives. That causes problems later on, and I'll get to that in just a minute. So when the children are growing up, a healthy family is when child number one has a relationship with the two parents without the other children. And also has a relationship, child number one, with mom alone and not dad. Or with dad alone and not mom. And child number two has the same, a relationship with mom and dad, and a relationship with mom alone and dad alone, and not sibling number one. And child number three has a relationship with mom alone, dad alone, mom and dad together, and not siblings one and two. And then the three children have a relationship with each other, individually and collectively. Now, what about the relationship that each child has with the parents? As you get older, part of our journey as a human being is to wrestle with and make peace with the fact that these two human beings that are your parents are not a monolithic block, but they are two human beings, two individuals. And our maturity is related to our ability to begin to see them as flawed human beings that make mistakes. And that sometimes is a tough journey because we think of mom and dad as they should be able to fix everything. They should never change. They should be flexible so you can change and you can grow, but they should never change and they should never move away from home base. Now, why does that present problems later on for the siblings? Well, as one of the siblings is working their way through acceptance of mother or dad or both as individuals that may have hurt them or harmed them in some way, or they want the support of the other two siblings. So it's like, I'm going to come complain to you. This is what mom's doing, and I want you to be on my side. There are many times that the children do ban against the parents and they jump, yeah, you shouldn't have grounded that person, or she didn't do that, or she didn't mean to, you know, break that computer. And so we're on her side. We're not on your side. But that's not always the case. And there begins to be ripples and ruptures between the siblings when they don't see a parent like the other child does. So if I come to you and say, this is what happened as a child. This is how mom hurt me. This is how dad hurt me. And I've never told anybody about it. And now that I'm telling you, I want you to be on my side. Now, they may not say that in those terms, but that's what they're asking. And that's where the problem comes in. Because if you come to me and ask me to be on your side of an issue against mom and dad, I may not have that kind of relationship with mom and dad. My relationship with my mother and my father is very different than your relationship with your mother and father, who happen to be my mother and father. Now, this is really not as the world turns, but it is almost. Did I lose you on that one? So, in other words, what ends up happening is if you won't be on my side as an adult, then there becomes a rift or a problem between the two of us. And when I am asking my siblings to be on my side about a particular issue, and it's hard for them, it's because I don't remember that they have their own individual relationship with our mother and our father. And it's unfair of me to ask my brother, sister, any of my siblings to just blindly be on my side. I'm asking them to give up their view of their mom and dad and their relationship with their mom and dad. And while it might be easy when we were younger for me to get mad at them and say, yeah, you shouldn't have grounded my sibling, the stakes get a lot higher later on. And it causes relationship difficulties vertically and horizontally. So what? So what does all that mean? It means that part of your maturity is to see your parents not as these imperfect beings that never got anything right, but also you can't see them as these icons of or virtuous beings that have now fallen from grace in my eyes. And what's happening is I just simply have to see them as fallible human beings that were probably doing the best they could, even if it wasn't very good. But they were doing what they could. And maybe they didn't have any teaching. Maybe they didn't want to go learn. Whatever it is, you don't have to justify it or make excuses for it. You just have to accept that they were not perfect and that children come without a rule book. Nobody gives you an instruction manual. And unfortunately, we parent a lot of the way we were parented. And that's not always the best. So when you're maybe angry or even confused about your sibling's relationship with these two people called parents that you share, it may hurt. You may be confused about it. But you have to remember, you're asking them to join you when they have their own filter of what mom looks like and what dad looks like. And the last thing you want to happen is not only to have that estranged relationship with your parents, but you don't want to be estranged from your siblings as well. That's a very lonely place to be. So it may be that you have to agree to disagree or agree to say, you know, maybe to a sibling, I'd like to support you, and yet I'm having a hard time getting my head around what you're telling me. Because my view of mom and my view of dad and my experience of them is very different from yours. It doesn't mean I'm saying I don't believe you or I think you're wrong. It simply means, wow, give me some time and let me try to get behind your eyeballs and see life from your view. Because boy, it's not the way I see my parents or our parents, or life from my eyeballs. So I'm asking you to give me some time. And my hesitancy is not because I think you're wrong or you're lying, but because I'm just grappling with it out of my own view. I hope some of that made sense to you.
Thank you for listening to The Recovered Therapist, where we keep topics honest, simple, and hopeful. I love you. There's not a damn thing you can do about it. Until next time.